At an orphanage in Léogâne on the Haitian coast, 24 young girls are at play. The orphanage is only an hour's drive west of Port-au-Prince on a good road, so food is still coming in from the capital. But as fuel supplies dwindle, that will change soon. Meanwhile, sanctions are being felt here in other ways. Léogâne has only a few hours of electricity in an average week, and the local hospital is cutting back on services. As time passes and the political stalemate continues, diplomats say Haitians can expect more darkness, more hunger, possibly more civilian casualties. U.S. government spokesman Stanley Schrager says this kind of generalized suffering is inevitable.
Unfortunately, you've got to show that you're in for these embargoes for the long haul, or as long as it takes to demonstrate the willingness and the resolve. If you carry this to its logical conclusion, this country will have no more gasoline. It will have no more diesel. The economy, such as it is, will come to a dead stop. And people are going to suffer. So I think the process, this crunch period, will be telescoped in this country. And we are looking for, you know, middle of January, early February, even given the ability of the Haitians to continue to muddle through under very difficult situations.
The people are indeed muddling through in Haiti's population centers, in the marketplaces of the south, but there are great stretches of the country where even the most basic commerce is withering. Normally, the aid organization CARE feeds 600,000 people in Haiti's northwest. That's 10% of Haiti's population. But the gas shortage has cut sharply into this program.
We're moving slowly but surely to catastrophe.
And this CARE director Chris Conrad says that already half a million people in his region, mostly children, are no longer getting food aid.
What's clear to us is that those children who are supposed to eat are not eating now, and they were getting between 1,500 and 1,700 calories a day from us. Now that they're not getting from us, are they getting somewhere else? I can't say with absolute certainty that the 500,000 kids who were supposed to be eating are not eating elsewhere. They must be eating something, but certainly nutrition and child morbidity and child mortality is going to skyrocket. And we have said this from the very beginning. You can't expect a program of our magnitude to shrink and then not have a deleterious effect.
Because of Haiti's extreme poverty, health officials say the children are vulnerable to diseases that are not so serious in North America. One example is measles. The sanctions against Haiti are playing havoc with much-needed vaccination programs. Elizabeth Gibbons is with UNICEF.
We have a lot of reports of health centers where their propane gas canisters are empty. They don't have transport to bring them back into Port-au-Prince to refill them. And as you know, the propane gas is what keeps the refrigerators going, which is what keeps the vaccines live. And without it, that's the collapse of the program. And there has been, although it's attenuated somewhat, there has been a very serious measles epidemic here, which has killed a lot of children, much more than one would expect, again because of the underlying malnutrition.
On the shores of a lake near Haiti's border with the Dominican Republic, motorists can haggle for black market gasoline at three or four times the pump price. The gasoline is brought across the lake in the boats of Dominican fishermen, and border guards usually look the other way while the trade goes on. Officially, however, the Dominican Republic, Haiti's major trading partner, respects the sanctions, and the fuel that comes across the border is a bare trickle. And because food is not moving from the farms to the cities and towns, all prices are going up, especially rice and beans, the staple foods in the poor neighborhoods of Port-au-Prince. Nevertheless, Haitians like Jimette believe the embargo is a good thing, even though they are the first to suffer. Jimette, who uses a pseudonym because he's afraid of the police, says he's out of a job because of the sanctions, but he supports the embargo as the best way to confront Haiti's military rulers.
Even if it's 3, 4, or 5 days that I remain without food, that's okay with me because we're in a struggle, and the struggle is with these people. And the impact is felt by my son, because these people have done something wrong, and eventually they'll have to go.
Still, on a recent Sunday, several thousand Haitians marched in the streets of Port-au-Prince, denouncing the United Nations embargo and the man on whose behalf it is being enforced, exiled President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. It's widely believed the demonstration was orchestrated by the country's right-wing rulers, a sign, perhaps, that they are beginning to feel the pinch of the sanctions. But otherwise, the military shows no signs of buckling under the international pressure. If that's the case, many here say the sanctions could drag on for a long time, and the Haitian poor, young and old, could face a lot more suffering. For the Christian Science Monitor, I'm Claude Adams, reporting from Port-au-Prince.